How we all doing today?
Good.
Good.
Fine day. So, give me a sec. Let me just make
Take
sure.
Your time, sir.
I want to make sure this doesn't collapse on me. That would be expensive. But, yeah. Yo, how awesome has it been today? Just the weather and everything. It's
so
just been awesome these past couple days. Besides, if you are an MTP, or not MTP, DTA, the other one, yes, you know, it was raining quite a bit on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
It was a little cold this morning. But
yeah, he felt it. He felt it more than most. And his cabin has just leaked all over his stuff. So pray for him. But yeah, so what up? Thanks for coming out. Thank you for just coming out to Midweek today and just giving me the chance to preach to you guys tonight. Super excited to share to, you know, just the brothers today and to just, you know, be able to just speak to you guys. And so you guys should know this by now, but if you don't, our theme for this summer is just being equipped to, you know, work for God and to just really give our all this summer.
Right.
And really have this summer as a means of training and equipping ourselves for, you know, all the work that is to be done. But it also means recognizing all the ways that we've already been equipped by God to do those very same things. And tonight we're going to be focusing on being equipped with motivation. Because, you know, God's already given us all the motivation that we, you know, need to really get this stuff done and to serve Him the way that He wants us to. You know, He provides everything that we need for us. And so, yeah, so motivation is, you know, motivation's, you know, how important do you guys think motivation is, just kind of in general?
A lot.
Super
important.
Very.
All
right. You want to say something real quick?
Yeah,
go for it.
Considering inertia, motivation is what starts everything.
Okay.
It's a great point.
It's like the Parmesan to your chicken.
That's true. 100%. Last one.
Motivation, the experience is saying, keeps you rooted in God.
Yeah, keeps you rooted. Awesome. So yeah, you know, it's a key factor, like he said, in our spiritual walk, but also it's just, you know, in our aspect and, you know, our every aspect of our lives in general, you know, motivation's just, you know, it's key. It's what drives us to make changes, to do the things that we want to do, to achieve the goals that we set for ourselves. And by the same token, a lack of motivation leads to the opposite of all of that stuff, right?
Yep.
So if we don't have motivation, then that means we're not going to really be able to change the things that, you know, we want to change.
Wow.
It means we're not going to be able to go after our goals the way that we want to.
True.
And it just, you know, it leads to just serious problems down the road when, you know, things pick up and you have responsibilities and things. You need motivation to get those things done. And so, yeah. And so it's really quick, a survey was taken just kind of, you know, in Western America somewhere in 2016, just, you know, the whole West Coast. And, you know, they were just, you know, trying to measure this stuff, just taking a poll on how people felt, you know, how motivated people were and that kind of thing. And, you know, they found that about, you know, over a quarter of Americans, so that's over 25% of the, you know, that entire side of the country, you know, over 25% of them felt unhappy, unsatisfied, and unmotivated in their jobs and just, you know, their lives in general, just their day to day. And they just, you know, they weren't feeling satisfied with, you know, the life they were living.
Mm.
And, you know, even going beyond that, 42% of the people who took that same poll said they weren't unsatisfied or unhappy, but they were, you know, they were simply okay or somewhat happy or, you know, just going through the motions, that kind of thing.
Right.
And, you know, that they were just, you know, they were content with their situation, but, you know, nothing crazy was going on. And so, you know, this is, you know, considering that, that's about, you know, that equates to about over 60% of, you know, that entire side of our country. This is just a widespread problem. That was in 2016, and the numbers have only gone up from there. And so, you know, have just this lack of motivation and, you know, dissatisfaction is just a growing problem in our, you know, our country and just, you know, people in general. You know, I'm sure that translates to the East Coast as well. So probably even more so. And really all of that just stems from a growing lack of motivation. And, you know, who in here would say they want to be one of those people who, one of those 25% who's like, yeah, I'm not really satisfied right now. I'm bored at work. I'm not really doing this stuff. Who feels like they would want to be in that category? No. What do you guys want to be? What do you guys want to be able to say about your life and about, you know, your job and situation and everything?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
That I'm happy. And that I'm satisfied with what I'm doing.
That you're happy and satisfied. Who here disagrees with him?
No.
That's not what I was referring to.
Yeah. You know, everybody, nobody wants to be like somewhat happy or just going through things. You know, everybody wants to be happy. We all want to be fulfilled.
Right.
And to feel like we're doing something and that we're thriving.
Mm.
And, you know, that's what you all want. That's what God wants for you too.
Right.
God doesn't want any of you guys to just, you know, be just going about life just day by day, just, you know, just feeling things out as you go. God wants you guys to be thriving and to just, you know, be really doing something with your lives and to just feel fulfilled.
Right.
And he's equipped us with more than enough motivation to really push ourselves and to just, you know, get that done and to serve him in that way. And, you know, keep enough motivation to keep us moving, growing, and really ultimately living just the awesome, incredible lives that God has in store for you guys. You know, he's given us all that we need. So tonight we're going to, you know, look at some of those motivators, you know, just a couple of them. God's given us a lot more than this. So even after this, go and, you know, do your own, look for your own stuff too on top of this stuff.
Nice.
But yeah, so we're going to look at just some motivations and a lot of scriptures to keep on your hearts and just really fuel you this week and, you know, this whole summer and year, you know, ideally. And just, you know, really fuel yourselves up to pursue just living that incredible life and just really go after living a fulfilling life and one that just has, you know, purpose and meaning. So, yeah, so we're going to hop right in. So, really, we're going to go over four of them. Like I said, there are a lot more than that, but the four really quick, it's, you know, grace, heaven, purpose, and expectation. So we're going to start with grace. These are in no particular order, by the way. All of them are important.
Nice.
So, yeah, so really quick, you want to turn over to 2 Timothy 1:9. Give you guys a second to turn there. Say amen when you're there.
Amen.
So I don't know.
Let's go, Vinny.
Amen.
We got
amen.
One.
Amen.
Amen.
There you go. Works for me.
Amen.
So, yeah, 2 Timothy 1:9 says, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Mm. And so, you know, this is Paul writing to his student Timothy. And really, if you look at any of Paul's, you know, really any of his writings, he wrote a lot of the New Testament.
Right.
But just, you know, you'll see grace just sprinkled all over it, just everywhere. And, you know, for Paul, he lived a radical life. He just did a ton of stuff. He was just an awesome man of God and just somebody I think everybody kind of wants to emulate and just, you know, live like he did. And, you know, grace was pretty much his, like, that was his number one motivation that kept him fueled and kept him going through all of this stuff that he went through
mm-hmm.
and through, you know, just his entire ministry. And so Paul's motivation was just grace, you know, and that was his motivation. That should be ours as well. You know, we should be motivated by the grace that God has shown us. You know, for Paul, he said, you know, he says he's the worst of all sinners. You know, he was pretty much a religious terrorist. He was going around killing Christians, being at literally, probably more literally than most of us, literally being at war with God. Just, you know, killing everybody who would say they want to follow him and just, you know, just completely tormenting the community. And yet, despite all of that, God took that guy who was just killing all of these people and he just turned things around completely and he made him one of his children. He took him in, he saved him, he just wiped his slate clean. And, you know, Paul really took that to heart because he knew where he came from. He knew he was just killing the same people that he's now, you know, now he's leading these people.
Mm-hmm.
And he took that to heart and, you know, he says, you know, that's what fueled him to work harder than all of the other disciples.
Mm.
It wasn't because of anything that he did or because he's better than them or harder working than them. It was just because, you know, God's just shown so much grace for him. How could he not have that motivation? How could he not go out and do all of this great work for him? And so, you know, that was Paul's perspective. We should have a similar one too. You know, all of us are in a similar situation as Paul. We don't want to squander that grace that God has shown on us.
Right.
We don't want to just sit there and do nothing with it and just kind of take it for granted. You know, nobody in this room, really, we don't deserve anything that we've been given. You know, I don't deserve to be standing up here, you know, talking to you guys right now, preaching to you guys. And, you know, I don't even deserve to have, you know, people like this as my brothers and just get the chance to talk about this message. But, you know, despite that, despite, you know, being at war with God, despite all the, you know, the sin that I've done, you know, the porn, the, you know, lying, deceit, all of this stuff, despite all of that, God still decided, you know what, this is, you know, I love Vinny, despite all of the, you know, all that he's done against me, I'm going to take him that guy who's been fighting me for 21 years of it, not 21, 20 at the time. Uh-huh. So 20 years of his life, and just, you know, and just wipe his slate clean and just, you know, hope that he's grateful and comes to me for that. And so, you know, God has been, and, you know, we're all in that same boat. Like I said, we, none of us deserve to be here. We all have the grace of God. And so, you know, how often during your week are you guys really thinking about that too? So, you know, how motivated are you guys by grace throughout your, you know, your day, your week, your month, on your time on campus, your semester? And really, it comes down to, in this case too, just how grateful are you for the grace that God's shown you too?
Right.
You know, are you guys, how often is it on your heart? Are you guys really, you know, giving thanks to God for that grace, you know, as much as you should be, which is, you know, daily basis? More so, really, multiple times a day. You know, are you really being grateful, or are you just kind of taking that grace for granted and just not really acknowledging it, not really being motivated by it?
Right.
And so,
good question.
Yeah, that, because that should be, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. You can just write it down. But it says, you know, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised again. Mm. And so, you know, Jesus, Christ's love should compel us. Grace should be our motivator. You know, Christ's love needs to compel us to go out and to do all of these things. Yeah. Because, you know, your life isn't your own anymore. You guys were bought at a price. You know, Jesus paid for you with his blood. And as disciples, we can't keep living the way that we did before, as if we own ourselves, and as if, you know, we're the leaders here. You know, we're leading ourselves. No, we're following Jesus now. That's right. What it means when you make Jesus Lord. He's Lord. You know, so we need to just really, you know, give ourselves to that and just live for him. You know, give ourselves to that grace. Really connect with that, and just, you know, follow the example that Jesus set. And just really go after, you know, living that life that he just, you know, that he literally, you know, he lived for us, but he also died so that we would, you know, be able to have the kind of life that God wants for us, and that, you know, God dreams that we will live.
Amen.
And so, yeah, just be focused on God's grace. And so, you know, second motivator is just heaven. And just really looking, you know, keeping your eyes above.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, you know, Ecclesiastes 3:11.
Come on.
Says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the heart, in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end." And so, you know, God really intentionally, you know, we have this idea of heaven. This, you know, everybody knows about heaven, even if they're not a Christian.
Right.
You know, most people, you don't even need to, you know, most people who don't even know a lot about Christianity know about heaven to some degree.
That's true.
And pretty much almost every religion in some way, shape, or form has some form of eternity equated with it.
Right.
And just something there.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not an accident. That's not something that should kind of happen. It's because, you know, God really intentionally put it on our hearts to just be focused in that way, and to just really, you know, we're not looking for things that are in this world or these, you know, worldly motivators or anything, but we're, you know, designed to be pursuing heaven.
Yeah.
To be looking for something, you know, greater than where we are now, and to just really be by his side in heaven. And so when you look at the apostles' writings and like pretty much any of the New Testament stuff, one thing that's really clear is that they had a really strong connection and grasp of just heaven. You know, this was another really strong motivator for them. You know, all of them taught to just really focus on heaven and to, you know, strive not for earthly desires or for, you know, the things of the flesh and all that stuff, but to be, you know, to set your eyes on things above. As, you know, we're going to read Colossians 3:1-4. You want to turn over there right now.
Amen.
But, you know, we need to be focused on not, you know, the here and now, but what's coming after this. You know, we need to be focused on eternity. And when we do that, when we are focused on that, that's what gives us the endurance and the perseverance to really, you know, work that hard way on campus and really go after, you know, all of these things that we should be doing and that we want to be doing as disciples.
Amen.
And these awesome changes that we want to make. You know, this is why the disciples were able to go through all that they did in the first century.
Right.
You know, it wasn't easy for them. I'm sure many of them would have, you know, not wanted to go through all of that stuff, being cut in two and just, you know, being crucified and all of that, but what helped them get through that stuff, the thing that kept them motivated through all of that, was they just had their eyes on heaven. They're like, you know, whatever happens here, I'm going to be, whatever happens here doesn't really matter. I'm going to be up there with God at the end of the day.
Right.
And that was their driving force. So yeah, Colossians 3:1-4 says, you know, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So, you know, we're no longer earthly beings, you know, worldly beings. We died. That life is gone.
Right.
You know, now we're not here anymore. Our spirits are already, for all intents and purposes, you know, seated with God up in heaven.
Right.
You know, he's already prepared that spot with us to be sitting next to Jesus and to just, you know, be with him. And so we shouldn't be worried or striving for things on, you know, on this earth. We should be focusing and striving for things in heaven, not worrying about the world has or the distractions that it offers us, but really, you know, set, like it says, just setting our minds on things above and just really focusing on, you know, heaven. And so throughout the week, how often are you guys, you know, thinking about heaven? And how often you really, you know, just sit there and, you know, just sit there amazed at, like, wow, at the end of this whole thing, I'm going to be up there with God. You know, how much is that really on your heart? And really, how big is your desire to, you know, be with God in heaven too? You know, how much do you really, you know, think about the fact that you're going to be able to, you know, sit next to God and just, you know, have a conversation with him and just chill with him up in heaven? Because, you know, the disciples, the first century church, they thought about this constantly. You know, this was just, you know, something that they were, you know, really, you know, fervent about. You know, that's what kept them going. We're going to be with God at the end of the day. That's what helped them to be bold and to get through all the stuff that they did and to just, you know, just share the word the way they did and to grow the way they did. It was because they weren't worried about the world or any of that stuff. They were just, you know, how can I get to heaven? How can I get to God? And so we need to just really be focused and really intentional about just, you know, thinking and having heaven on our heart rather than all of this earthly stuff and really, you know, setting our eyes on things above. So yeah, just really go after that and just, you know, focus on heaven, because that's where God is. That's where we're all trying to go.
Right.
You know, we can go through all this stuff, but if we don't end up in heaven and we're not with God, then what was kind of the point of all this? So that should already be a strong motivator. That's why a lot of us are here. That's one of the motivators. So,
amen.
Yeah. So next, if you want to, yeah, next we're going to be talking about purpose. And so,
come on, bro.
Yeah, for this one, you know, who in here has seen Lord of the Rings?
Oh, yeah.
I hope everybody raises their hands. If not, you're missing out. So, yeah, for those of you who don't know, Lord of the Rings is like my favorite movie of all time. Easily. Very easily. It's just, you know, a masterpiece. If you haven't watched it, go watch it.
Extended
cut. It's biblical, too. So. It has biblical themes.
There we go.
That's the way to say it. But yeah.
It's a little more Old Testament.
Yeah. But, you know, whenever it's just this awesome, you know, it's three movies long. Each movie is 3 hours. It's just this huge thing. And it's just, you know, this
epic,
just, you know, it's pretty much just, you know, this epic mission that's going on. And, you know, main character Frodo's, he's just this kid who lives out on a farm somewhere, pretty much, in a nutshell. And, you know, he's just doing his thing. All of a sudden, he's thrown into this whole, you know, this whole situation. And he's, you know, literally set on a mission to save the world at the end of the day. And really, you know, whenever I watch movies like this, especially Lord of the Rings, you know, what, you know, it could be Lord of the Rings, could be like, you know, Marvel movies, Avengers, all of that stuff. It's always, you know, whenever I think about that stuff, I'm like, yo, how awesome must it be to be a part of, like, something that big and that massive? And it's like, you know, like, how must it feel to be like Frodo at the end of this whole thing? Just like, you know, he just did that. You know, he just literally saved the world by going on that journey and everything. You know, that's something that, you know, whenever I watch this stuff, I always think about that. And I think that's kind of a thing that, you know, a lot of people think about too, is, you know, we all want to be part of something bigger than ourselves.
Right.
You know, we all want to be part of just, you know, this big movement. You know, even going beyond that, even, you know, real life, think of, like, you know, the Revolutionary War. It's like being a part of that. and just, you know, literally just these 13 little colonies going against, you know, the biggest superpower in the world, pretty much, and then winning somehow.
Good point.
So it's like, you know, imagine what it must have been to, you know, be like one of the soldiers in that whole fight. And just, you know, being able to be a part of that and being part of, you know, history in that way.
Mm.
You know, civil rights movement, too. To be, you know, part of one of the guys who were marching with, you know, Martin Luther King. And to just, you know, be part of that.
Right.
You know, we all want to be part of something bigger and to really do something that matters.
Yeah.
And really, the reality is, if you guys are disciples, you're following Jesus, and that means you are part of something like that.
Oh.
And so, yeah, so turn over to Luke. We're going to read a bit for you.
Come on, bro.
We're going to read a bit here. Luke 5, 1 to 11. This is when Jesus is calling his first disciples.
Come on, bro. Good stuff, man.
So let me know when you guys are there.
I'm there.
You're there? Who else? You guys there?
Right, there
Lucas is there.
If you're not there, we're starting without you. Dude. Yeah, so starting at verse 1, it says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake at Gennesaret, I think that's how you pronounce it, amen, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When the people had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled for their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came back with both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John and the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him.
Mm.
And so, you know, these were just, you know, Jesus took these guys, just a couple of fishermen doing their thing. They're just out, you know, doing their jobs, just going out fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they go through this entire, you know, this just epic entire scenario, really.
Right.
You know, they just, you know, they've been going out fishing all day. They didn't catch anything. All of a sudden, this guy rolls up, tells them to go, you know, put their nets out in this area, and all of a sudden their boats are sinking because of how much fish they just got.
Right.
Especially if you're a fisherman, this was probably a pretty hype day.
Yeah.
You know, you just got that much fish. It's like, that was probably a pretty cool moment for them. But, you know, Jesus calls them, and, you know, they drop everything and follow, and Jesus gives them, you know, a greater purpose,
right,
you know, than anything that, you know, these were just a couple of fishermen. And Jesus says, you know, he gives them a greater purpose. I'm going to send you out to fish for people. You know, I'm going to make you fishers of men.
Come on.
And, you know, when they accepted that, I'm sure they had no clue what they were getting into when they accepted that. But, you know, when they, the second that they decided to follow Jesus and to really go after that, you know, they became part of a mission and a purpose just far greater than anything they probably could have ever imagined or anything that they ever thought they would be, you know, taking a part of. And, you know, Jesus trained them. He made them warriors, and he really trained them to go and reach out and to save the world. Really, literally, you know, Philippians 2, 12 to 13 says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose.
Right.
And so, you know, God has put us here for a reason. You know, we're here to fulfill a purpose and to really go after something. You know, we have a mission. And that, you know, where do we find that? Where do you guys think? Where's our mission statement?
Matthew 28.
Exactly. Great commission.
NYCOC.net.
That's a web.
Yeah. You know, our mission, Great Commission, says, you know, Matthew 28, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So, you know, God has given us this huge purpose right there. You know, this is for everyone who wants to follow him. This is for his disciples. You know, we're literally here on this world to save the world. You know, that's why God has placed all of you in this room.
Wow.
You're all here to save the world. We're on a mission. You know, we're here to be a light to the world, to go out and to meet people, to lead people to Jesus, and to baptize them, and then not just stop there, but then to teach them to obey,
right,
and to turn them into warriors for the same purpose, to go out and to just fight for the world, to really go out and save people. And, you know, this isn't a small task, you know. It says go out there to all nations. You know, it's hard enough going out, you know, just like, you know, we have a lot on our plate here in North Jersey.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, that's your purpose, really. You know, you're in this room because God wants you here to save the world.
Yeah.
That's why you guys are here. That's the purpose that God has for you specifically. He wants you to go out and to save the world. And, you know, that's something, that kind of a motivation is really, that's only something that you really see in, like, this is something that's really popular in Lord of the Rings. That's, it's a story. It's fiction. You know, like I said, people, you know, people want to be part of something bigger, saving the world. That's about as big as it gets. And, you know, we get to be, this isn't just, you know, some story that somebody's telling. You know, this is God's purpose for all of you guys. You know, this is why we're here. This is reality. You guys are here to save the world.
Mm.
And so, you know, and that's not something to take for granted, too. That's not, you know, God's already entrusted you with that, too. You know, that's not something that you're, no, from this moment on, yeah, I'm going to decide I want to be part of that. God's already, you know, given you that responsibility. He's already entrusted you with that, you know. God has already entrusted the world to you. And so, you know, do you understand how important of a mission that is?
Mm.
And, you know, how are you? Are you really going after that? You know, are you taking part in the mission that you, you know, when you became a disciple, you decided you were going to be part of this?
Yeah.
You know, that's
right.
Part of being a disciple. Jesus was out on the mission. He was here to save the world, and so are we. And so, you know, are you taking part of that, or are you just kind of standing on the sidelines of that mission and just kind of taking it for granted? You know? Are you really giving your all to it, getting in Bible studies with people, bringing people out to Bible talk, and finding people to baptize? Are you really going after just, you know, going after saving one person at the, you know, just getting the ball rolling?
Mm.
And really, you know, our goal as the guys in here, our goal is to grow to, you know, 50 guys in here before the end of the year. Are you one of those, are you taking part in that? Do you want to help us reach that goal, or are you just kind of, you know, standing on the sidelines hoping that we get there?
Wow.
And so, you know, really, you know, have that on your heart, just how big the mission that we're on is a part of. You know, people all over the world, they want to be part of something as big as we're a part of. And, you know, yet here we are in this room, you know, getting to be a part of that. Don't take that for granted. You know, really go after that and really, you know, put that on your heart and be on the mission. And, you know, because God's given us a great purpose to be a part of. And so don't let that go by. Just, you know, give it your all. And so last one we're going to talk about is expectation.
All right.
And so for this one, turn over to John 14, 12 to 14.
Come on, Vinny.
All right.
Keep it up.
Yeah, so starting at verse 12, it says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." So, you know, God's already entrusted you guys with just this awesome mission and purpose that, you know, people only dream of being a part of.
Mm.
And whether you're constantly aware of it or not, you know, like I said, he's already entrusted that to you, you know, as of right now, the second you became a disciple. You know, he decided to trust you with that responsibility of saving the world. And he's expecting us to do, you know, incredible things for him. You know, like that passage said, God's expecting you to do, you know, even greater things than Jesus did. And, you know, do you really believe that you're capable of doing that? Is one of the questions. You know, do you believe that in, you know, right now in your situation, you can go out and you can do even greater things that Jesus did? Because, you know, God believes you can. You know, he has complete faith that you can go out and to just, you know, just blow Jesus out of the water. Because we have something that, you know, we have Jesus on our side. You know, Jesus, it was just, you know, it was him and his apostles. But now we have, you know, We have all of the guys in here, all of you plus Jesus, to go out and to just change the world.
Yeah.
You know, and we have, you know, in here we also have, you know, we have that. We have the gift of salvation. We don't have to worry about a lot of the stuff that people in the Old Testament and things had to worry about.
Yeah, right.
You know, we're in a completely different situation from them. They would only dream of being in the seats that you guys are in right now and being able to be a part of this and to really go after that. And, you know, and you guys have the Holy Spirit in you too. You know, you guys have literally the power that, you know, the power that God used during creation.
Come on, man.
And to just do the whole Genesis account. That's, you know, that's inside of you right now, working with you to get all this stuff done.
Come on, dude.
And so really we can do greater things than Jesus did, because now Jesus is working with us. You know, it's because, and where Jesus was confined to one area, you know, Jesus was a man. He was just kind of walking around Jerusalem doing his thing. He did incredible things, but it was limiting. But now there are, you know, there are almost, including the sisters, there are almost 80 of us here just in, you know, in our campus alone who are going out and being Jesus on campus.
Wow, yeah.
And so, you know, really we should treat that like, you know, there are 90 Jesuses right now just in this area alone. What do you, like,
yeah,
if you imagine back in Jerusalem if there were 90 Jesuses walking around just doing his thing. You know, imagine how much would have happened there and just all the awesome stories that we would be able to tell. You know, that would just be incredible. And so, you know, yeah, just how do you believe that you can go out and to just do more amazing things than Jesus did? Because God is really confident that you can, and he wants you to. He's waiting to work through you to help you do that. It's not just you. You know, it's not just you. It's you, Jesus, and God working at this together.
Right.
You know, he's working through us. And he's just waiting for you guys to give him the green light to just go out and to, you know, work in that way and to let him work through you guys.
Right.
You know? In Philippians 1:20.
Come on, bro.
I can write that down. It's a short one, so I'll just read it. It says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. And so, you know, this was, you know, God has an expectation that, you know, us as the body, that we're going to exalt Jesus. That's why we're here. It's another one of our purposes, is we're here to just, you know, lift up God. That's the whole purpose of this, to lift up Jesus. And, you know, that's his expectation of us. And another translation of that says, you know, it says to exalt Jesus, but it also, another translation says to magnify Jesus too. And so to magnify Jesus to the world. Because like I said, where Jesus was one man, now it's just, we have a whole army of, you know, people striving to be like Jesus and to do what he did. Just, you know, marching across North Jersey, just, you know, just conquering people's souls. And just winning them back for God. And so we need to go out and we need to magnify Jesus' work. You know, where he was one man, now we're, you know, I don't know how many people are in here. How many brothers do we got? A little over
30. There's 35 in our ministry.
35, there we go. We got 35 Jesuses right here in this room, more or less. You know, imagine how much work that we could do through those 35 people.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
What did he say?
So, you know, that's in this room. We also, we're part of the, you know, we're part of the church too, the body. The body's here to work in that same way, to bring, to magnify Jesus. So that, you know, we're all breaking into our, you know, our counties and everything. Just each of those counties is going out and being Jesus to North Jersey and just magnifying the work that he's already done.
Wow.
And just, you know, just expanding, you know, multiplying people. And, you know, like I said, God's already, this is all stuff that God's already entrusted to you guys.
Right.
So that starts, you know, all of this isn't something, you know, I'm going to start doing this, you know, tomorrow when I grow more. This starts now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that means being on campus and really, you know, accepting what God has entrusted us with. You know, God has entrusted us with all the campuses that, God's entrusted you with the campus that you're on right now.
Wow.
You know, that means you're on Willie P. You know, you're Willie P like I am. That means, you know, God's entrusted us to save the people on William Patterson. That's our mission field. That's the place that he's given us. We're responsible for saving those souls, and God wants to work with us to help that. Same with Montclair. If you're at Montclair, you're responsible for Montclair. He's entrusted you with the people at Montclair. If you're at Bergen, same thing. CCM, Rutgers, Seton Hall. You know, all these other schools in North Jersey too, that maybe we don't have people at. Keene now, So, and all these other schools that we don't have people on, but, you know, throughout our day, we're interacting without, sometimes without us even knowing, we're interacting with people who go to these schools.
Yeah.
Wow. And, you know, God wants, God's entrusted us with these people, and he wants us to reach out to them and to do amazing things on their campuses.
Yeah.
You know, God wants, you know, Willie P. and Montclair to be schools just literally 100% disciples.
Yeah.
You know, just think of that, what it would be, too. Imagine if, like, all 10,000 people in Montclair were disciples, and we just had a campus with 10,000 disciples on it. With new people coming in every semester, too.
I wonder how
that would change how the university works.
Exactly, yeah. Absolutely. It'd just be it's just a whole new game, and a whole new playing field.
Yes, it would.
But that's what God wants, you know, that's the vision that he has.
Wow.
And he's, you know, he expects you to be able to do that.
That's a good point, bro.
And he trusts you to be able to do that. He already has. You know, he wants you to go out and to save those people at Montclair and just make the entire school just, you know, followers of him.
Mm. Yeah.
And so, you know, we really just, you know, Jeremiah 29:11, you all know what it says. You've all read it before somehow. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future." Mm. And so, you know, God has plans and expectations for all of you guys. You know, whatever that means, if you're a Willie P., Montclair, Bergen, wherever you're at, you know, he has plans and expectations for you to do great things on that campus and to just, you know, like I said, not to like, you know, make us anxious or like, you know, we're not living up to anything, what his expectations or anything, but his plans are to really give us hope in a future, to help us live a fulfilling life that, you know, we can just, you know, at the end of it all, we can sit back and like just look at our life and just say, you know, like we were part of something great.
Yeah.
You know, we were part of something huge, this awesome mission. And so, you know, God has plans and expectations for us, but do you want to live up to God's expectations too? Is that on your heart? Or are you aware that God has expectations of you and do you want to meet those? Or and do you have expectations of yourself too as a disciple? You know, just, you know, with your own walk with God, do you expect things of yourself? Do you expect yourself to get on campus and to really be on the mission? And do you expect yourself to go out and to just, you know, be making disciples and to study the Bible with people? And, you know, another way to think about it too is, you know, the story of, you know, the talents too.
Right.
You know, God's entrusted all of us with some amount of talents. You know, some people are at bigger schools than others, but we all have, you know, souls that are riding on us and that God has invested with us. And so, you know, are you going to be the guy who, you know, took his talents and he multiplied them? You know, he made 5 into 10, and, you know, God wants you to make 5 into like 100. So, you know, are we going to be that person, or are we going to be the person that goes out and just, you know, buries what's been invested with him in the ground, just, you know, fearful that he's going to lose it? And just not really doing anything with it.
Mm.
You know, God has, you know, God expects us to multiply ourselves and to go out and to do, you know, awesome things. Not because we can do it by our own power, but because now as disciples, you know, we have him on our side. We have the Holy Spirit. We have Jesus on our side. And, you know, through them working through us, we can reach just, you know, everybody. There's nobody who's, you know, nobody's too far gone for God to save. He wants to save everybody. And so, yeah, so, you know, we've been placed here to do, you know, amazing things. And everybody, I know everybody here wants their life to count for something.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
To just go out and do amazing things. And God wants you guys to go out and to make a difference too. You know, you guys are his plan A. You guys are who he wants to use. That's why you're in this room. That's why you know, you guys are saved here, because he had a plan for you guys. He wants you guys to be in here to be doing this. But in order for us to make that difference, we need that motivation behind us. You know, nothing gets done if there's no motivation behind it.
Right.
So we need to just really stay motivated. So really focus on those motivations I gave you, you know, grace, heaven, purpose, and expectation.
Yeah.
But also, like I said, those are just a couple of God's given us. God's given us tons of other motivation in the Bible too. And so, you know, focus on one of those. If one of those really resonates you, all of them really at the end of the day should be a motivation for us to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
But just go out and find your own motivation too, and really, you know, go after connecting with these things and really get motivated so that this summer can really be, you know, just awesome and just a summer to remember for you guys. Right. And that we could really go after, you know, our goals for the summer, you know, getting 50 brothers in this room by the end of the year, getting, you know, 100 people out there by the end of the year. And just really, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, goal is to save the world.
Right.
And so, you know, get motivated to just go out and to just be on the mission in that scale too. Because that's, you know, that's why we've been placed here.
Right.
You know, this is our piece of the pie, but really the goal is to reach, you know, to all the nations. And so, yeah, so just, you know, get motivated and just really, you know, God's already equipped us with all the motivation that we need to do this thing. So let's just go out and get it done and just really focus on that. So, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, so that's all I got for you guys.